I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rob, we've got very important breaking news that I know you want to hear. They have started casting for season 4 of True Detective. Jodie Foster is going to play lead in True Detective season 4. I don't know what True Detective Season 4 is going to be about, but I know Jodie Foster is going to kill it. I know that much. Now, we don't know who her partner is going to be in this, Rob, but we do know that Jodie Foster is going to star in Season 4 of True Detective. You know that True Detective only has 2 seasons? Maybe you didn't know that.
I mean, there wasn't a second season.
No, it's kind
of 1 and 3.
It's odd how that happens. Like, it had such an amazing first season. They said they were producing season 2, but I've never seen it. And then they just jump right to season 3. It's one of the few shows I can remember that I've done that before, that they just skipped season 2 and then just went straight to season 3. So, I mean, hopefully they have a season 4. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, so I can't verify if it's a real thing or not. But I am here to tell you that Jodie Foster is going to star in season 4 of True Detective. So I got an email today. The same email, Rob, that I had that said that Justin Herbert is the favorite to win NFL MVP. So right now, you need to go get those odds right now on Herbert to go win NFL MVP. I know that I am. I'm putting my life savings on it. Some of you guys are laughing at it. Well, you bet on Bitcoin or some imaginary coin. It's the same principle to me. There are only 6 rookies this year, Rob, with better odds to win NFL Rookie of the Year than Sky Moore. These are the rookies. Kenny Pickett. How is Kenny Pickett the favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year? Is he the favorite to even start this season?
I mean, come on now. He plays quarterback in the NFL. That's you think Kenny Pickett can't be Mac Jones? They're the same.
I don't know if he's going to start this upcoming season. I would say that Mitch Trubisky is just a slightly older version of Kenny Pickett. I think week 1, I think that Mitch Trubisky is going to be their starter. So I'm a little surprised that Kenny Pickett is the favorite to win it. Drake London is second. You've got 3 guys tied at plus 800 and Treylon Burks, the wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans. Breece Hall, who I actually would bet on to win Offensive Rookie of the Year this year. And Christian Watson at plus 800. Then you've got Garrett Wilson at plus 900. And then sitting right there at plus 1,000 is Chiefs wide receiver Sky Moore. Is Sky Moore going to get enough usage to win Offensive Rookie of the Year? Because I'm looking at the players at his position who have won it over the last 20 years or so. There have been 4 wide receivers to win it since 2000. Anquan Boldin, Percy Harvin, Odell Beckham, and last year, Jamar Chase. Now, you might be really high on Sky Moore, and there's certainly a lot of reasons to be. No one thinks he's going to be used like Jamar Chase was used last season. I don't think he's going to have the kind of rookie season that Odell Beckham had back in 2014, where Odell Beckham became a superstar at the end of the season. I don't think that Sky Moore has a chance to win Rookie of the Year, and it's not even due to his own ability. I just don't think he's going to have nearly the amount of usage it is to win this. If you're going to win it at wide receiver, you need to be a team's number one wide receiver. I don't think he's going to be the Chiefs' number one wide receiver. Not this season. Maybe next season he becomes the Chiefs' number one wide receiver after a year in the system. But I don't think the usage is going to be there enough. I think the odds are a little bit too rich right now for Sky Moore. I think he could have a phenomenal rookie season. And that gives him like 700 yards. If he has 700 yards this year, I would say Sky Moore had a really good rookie season when you think about all the other guys who got to eat. You've got four wide receivers that are ahead of them, but injuries always happen. It's not like those guys are going to be ahead of them the entire season. You've got Kelsey that's ahead of them. I would say they're probably going to have two running backs to touch the ball more than he touched it this season. Clyde Edwards-Helaire will get more touches this season than Sky Moore will get. So will Ronald Jones. So if we're talking about there are seven people that are ahead of you in this conversation of you getting touches and getting opportunities, how can you win Offensive Rookie of the Year? There wasn't anybody ahead of Ja'Marr Chase last year. I guess you could argue Joe Mixon. He was a running back. He touched the ball more, but he was their second offensive option, their number one passing offense. There's no chance that Sky Moore is going to be that this year. I think the odds are a little bit too rich for him to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, and he can put together a really good season where he has 41 catches for 700 yards. That's not going to win you Offensive Rookie of the Year, though.
Plus, how often in Andy Reid's system do we talk about, well, it takes a little bit of time to get acclimated with the system. It takes a little bit of time to get into the flow, into the rhythm, into the whatever the terminology you choose is. We talk about that all the time with rookies in Andy Reid's system. It's like the only conversation point we have in camp. Well, it takes so-and-so a little bit to get going, but once he does, watch out. Sky Moore plus 1,000 is just too rich for my blood as well. If I were betting, which I live in Kansas, as you pointed out in the last segment, so I can. You can't. I can, so I would bet on Drake London. Just big sheer usage numbers. No one else can catch the ball in Atlanta other than Pitts, and it's a throwing league, so that would be my bet.
Text line 913-586-7610. We have a new phone number, new phone line, new phone setup. We're working out some of the kinks, but I want to tell you guys, lock this number in, 913-586-7610. C-Dot, think about how Dwayne Bowe had a 1,000-yard rookie season. He also got the ball thrown to him 116 times as a rookie. It's a lot of opportunities. He had 70 catches as a rookie. I don't want you guys to take this as me being down on Sky Moore, because I'm not down on Sky Moore. I'm down on what his usage is going to be this year. I just don't think it's going to be incredibly high this year. I don't think the Chiefs are anticipating and planning on it being really high this year. I don't think he touches the ball enough to win this award, but I think he'll touch the ball enough to be a factor. And knowing Andy Reid, they'll have some packages and some setups and some things to get him open and utilize him. But I just don't think he's going to be used enough as a rookie that he's the sixth most likely rookie player to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. All right. So, Rob, yesterday we did this exercise, and I'm not going to lie to you, you really disappointed me. I thought you were going to be a little bit better at it. I thought you had a little bit more knowledge of the National Football League, but I was very sadly mistaken yesterday. So I asked you yesterday to build your perfect running back. You built the sixth best running back in the league, which seems difficult to do because you can choose from anybody's traits. So today we're going to build your perfect wide receiver. It's the same concept. You cannot use the player more than once. We are going to evaluate them, Rob, based off of these five categories: speed, size and strength, route running, athleticism, and durability. Speed, size and strength, route running, athleticism, and durability. We are creating Rob's perfect wide receiver, current players only. You cannot use the same player more than once, Rob. For speed, I hope you were taking this person.
Tyreek Hill.
But just making sure. Tyreek, I didn't
Hill.
Know.
Tyreek Hill.
Okay, I didn't know. That seemed very obvious to me. Let's say that Tyreek Hill wasn't available. Who would you pick?
That's a good question. If Tyreek, I would just so like, okay, let's just fast forward through Tyreek Hill.
I agree with you. I'm just curious, if Tyreek Hill wasn't available, what player would you take for speed?
Probably Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay. I probably actually would take Deebo Samuel in this category.
Yeah,
take Tyreek Hill, I would take Deebo Samuel in this category. All right, speed, you're taking Tyreek Hill. That's the easy one. Now it's going to get more difficult. You've got size and strength, route running, athleticism, durability. I got to put hands. Let me put hands on here, too. I'm going to make an amendment here. I'm going to put hands on here. I don't know why I didn't include hands. That's my fault. All right,
size and strength. Who are you picking?
DeAndre Hopkins. Just a beast of a guy. When healthy, big, strong, box out ability, jump ball ability. DeAndre Hopkins is size and strength.
I would have chose Ja'Marr Chase here. This is where I would choose Ja'Marr Chase.
Ja'Marr Chase is smaller than you'd imagine. DeAndre Hopkins is a bigger person than Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay. Valid point. He is not the biggest of individuals. I would have saved DeAndre Hopkins for this next category, which is route running. I would have saved DeAndre Hopkins for there.
Cooper Kupp is my route runner.
Cooper Kupp.
What Cooper Kupp does better than anyone in the league is get open, because he's always open and everyone knows he's getting the ball. Cooper Kupp is route running.
Davante Adams would have been very high on this list for me too in terms of route running ability. I would have seriously considered taking Davante Adams, but this is your perfect wide receiver. All right. You have to use current players. You cannot duplicate. For speed, you have the speed of Tyreek Hill. For size, you have DeAndre Hopkins. For route running, you've got Cooper Kupp. Athleticism, who are you taking?
Athleticism, that's where I take my Ja'Marr Chase. Okay. Ja'Marr Chase is a freak. He's got the speed. He's got the jumping ability. He's a jump ball guy like 6'1", and there's nothing wrong with being 6'1". It's just, that's not what I think of when I think of a big person, but his athleticism is scary.
All right. We're now moving on to durability. Do you understand durability? Because yesterday when we did durability, you picked somebody who wasn't durable.
I understand durability.
Okay, I'm just making sure I'm not 100%. All right, durability. Who are you taking for durability?
Davante Adams.
It's a good pick there.
Davante Adams. Even when Aaron Rodgers had herbs and spices, didn't cure the Rona, he was still out there playing every day.
He was out there every day. You seem to understand this better than you understood the running backs. I don't know if you understood the running backs. You've actually built a very good wide receiver here.
I mean, yesterday I could just grab six random names and be like, that's a running back. Who cares?
Hands. Who are you taking for hands in this?
Hands is a good one. I will take Odell Beckham's hands.
Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham was the one that pioneered the one-hand, two-finger catch. He, when the ball is thrown to him and he's in the area, Baker, he makes the play. I will take Odell Beckham's hands.
All right, this is the perfect wide receiver you have created. We played this game yesterday with running back, and I told Rob I was going to quiz him today. Only current wide receivers you can't duplicate. For speed, you have Tyreek Hill. For size, you have D-Hop. Happy you didn't choose him for durability. Route running, you have chosen Cooper Kupp. For athleticism, you have used Ja'Marr Chase. For durability, you have selected Davante Adams. For hands, you have selected Odell Beckham Jr. This is a strong wide receiver that you've created. Far more impressive than what you've done at the running back position. I wish we could do this game again tomorrow. We would pick quarterback, but you're not going to be here tomorrow.
No, I'm taking some time.
Text line, let me know what you think about Rob's wide receiver. 913-586-7610. This is a strong wide receiver. Tyreek speed, DeAndre Hopkins size, Cooper Kupp's route running, Ja'Marr Chase athleticism, Davante Adams durability, Odell Beckham Jr.'s hands. This is a strong wide receiver you have selected. All right, coming up, I saw possibly one of the worst ideas I've ever seen come across my social media feed. I'll tell you what it is next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch Royals broadcaster Rex Hudler every Tuesday at 3 on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Text line 913-586-7610. Why do you guys keep playing that commercial? I don't know what commercial you're talking about. Is this the one?
Mrs. Lewis, I'm Officer Taylor. Your son was in a crash and has died.
What?
He wasn't wearing his seatbelt and was ejected from the vehicle.
No. No.
Mom, is everything okay? Mom, answer.
Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
How many takes do you think that took, Rob? Like, whenever they went into the recording booth and they were like, hey, we need you to do this PSA. It pays $200. Like, sure, I'll do it. And then you see the script. How many times do you think you have to do that to get it to sound believable?
That's a good question. I'm going to believe those are pros and they're one or two take people.
Oh, you think it was one take Jake?
I think those people are paid to do that. They're voice actors. It's their whole gig, their whole profession. They're going to be professional about it, and they're one or two takes.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, they asked me or you to do it, it would be more than one or two takes.
Okay, I didn't know that. I mean, I my acting ability is not that high. I don't think I could have done it. I think I actually would have failed. People on the text line are saying that you did a good job. One person said that they were afraid that you were going to basically build Joe Horn, which did make me laugh. I did find that amusing. Someone asked if we could just do quarterbacks today. If you guys want me to do quarterbacks, we can have Rob build the perfect quarterback. We had him build the perfect running back yesterday, and he failed. There's really no other way to put it. I don't know how to say it better than that. His running back was actually really bad. Today, he did a good job, though. Today was build your perfect wide receiver. It was speed, size and strength, route running, athleticism, durability, and hands. He took the speed of Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins' size, Cooper Kupp's route running, Jamar Chase's athleticism, Devontae Adams' durability, and the hands of Odell Beckham is the wide receiver that Rob created earlier today. Rob, did you see that Winnie the Pooh now is in public domain? So if you guys don't know what that means, you could write your own Winnie the Pooh children's book right now. You don't have to get the permission of anybody. You could make your own Winnie the Pooh content if that's what you would like. Well, someone was keeping a close eye on this, and they have already started making a Winnie the Pooh movie. Now, it is not your typical Winnie the Pooh movie. It is a horror movie. Yes, someone has taken Piglet, Tigger, Eeyore, and Winnie the Pooh, and they have made a low-budget horror movie, including Winnie the Pooh. Now, I don't know who the intended audience is for this. Certainly doesn't seem like something that children would watch. I'm not very interested in a Winnie the Pooh horror movie, but this movie is being made. It did get me thinking, though. If we could turn any children's book, play, movie into a scary movie, what would you pick? Isn't the answer fairly obvious? And it's Toy Story? You could do a really cool Child's Play spoof, including the characters from Toy Story. Think about what Toy Story really is. The toys just move when you leave the room. Doesn't that sound like Chucky? Doesn't that sound like scary movies? You're telling me, Woody, they've just built this secret community in your kid's room and you don't know about it? What happens if Woody malfunctions? Buzz Lightyear misfunctions. He now turns on little Andy. Now, I know they wouldn't do this, Rob, but I would be very much in favor of a Toy Story horror movie, certainly more than Winnie the Pooh. This wasn't something that people wanted. This wasn't something that people asked for. Who wants to be scared of Winnie the Pooh?
Is Christopher Robbins in this one, too? How does that all fit in? How does that all work? Is he, like, just going to murder all the other characters? I don't understand it at all. By the way, they did try Toy Story with Scary. It's called Small Soldiers. Remember that from our youth?
Yeah, that wasn't a scary movie, though. That was like an action movie that they tried. I've seen Small Soldiers before. It wasn't scary.
It scared me.
Well, I mean, you're scared of everything, though. You're like Chucky Finster from Rugrats. You don't count.
That's fair. I don't mess around with the genre. The genre doesn't mess around with me.
No, and that's sometimes that's how you got to keep it. Sometimes that's the best way to keep it is I don't fool with those kind of movies. They don't fool with me.
What'd you say yesterday about food? The rivers and lakes I'm used to.
Yeah, you got to stick to the rivers and lakes that you're used to, man. That's it.
The same way you won't dip your Oreo in peanut butter, I won't dip my toe in the horror films.
No, I get it. It makes perfect sense.
Oh, does Alice in Wonderland count? Because Alice in Wonderland's the answer.
That would be a good one.
A horror Alice in Wonderland is basically just regular Alice in Wonderland, first and foremost.
I'd be for it. No, that's you know what? That's why you're here. You make good suggestions, good ideas. Speaking of movies, we got to say RIP to Ray Liotta.
Buddy, you're a funny guy.
What do you mean? You mean the way I talk?
What? It's just, you know, you're just funny. It's funny, you know, the way you tell the story and everything.
Funny how? I mean, what's funny about it?
Yeah, Tommy, no, you got it all wrong.
Oh, Anthony. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say?
You're right.
Funny how? What?
Just, you know, you're funny.
You mean, so? Well, let me understand this, because maybe it's me, I'm a little up, maybe. Well, I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh, I'm here to amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
I'm not just, you know how you tell a story, what?
No, I don't know. You said it. How do I know? You said I'm funny. How the f*** am I funny? What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
Get the f*** out of here, Tommy.
I almost had him. Yeah, stuttering prick, yeah. Frankie, was he shaking? I wonder about you sometimes, Henry. You may fold under questioning.
You may fold under questioning cracks me up every single time. R.I.P. to Henry Hill. R.I.P. I was very sad to hear that today, that Ray Liotta had passed away. I love Goodfellas. Goodfellas has one of my favorite opening scenes in a movie. The first 10 minutes of Goodfellas, I mean, the entire movie's phenomenal, but the first 10 movies when they're setting up what the movie is about is phenomenal. Huge fan of the movie Goodfellas. Who doesn't? Goodfellas is kind of one of those movies like, we say that we don't judge people. Let's say that, you know, you and a coworker decided to, you know, get some beers after work, you know? You decided to get some beers. And you guys are just talking about movies, and he's like, man, you know, I've actually never seen Goodfellas before. You would judge him a little bit. It's okay to say that we judge people. It's all right. Nobody wants to admit it. We judge people. Goodfellas is one of those movies that I judge you if you haven't seen, or if you've seen Goodfellas, you're like, eh, it's all right. What? You don't love it? You don't think it's phenomenal? It's one of the greatest movies ever made.
I have a friend who's never seen it. I'm going to rephrase that. I used to have a friend who's never seen it.
See what I mean?
I judge that man. Because you can't make jokes like, how do I amuse you? Funny how? Like a clown? Go get your shoeshine kit. You can't tell that joke to people who don't get it.
That's one of those jokes that you got to be able to get, man. We used to be a proper country. We used to make movies like that, but now all we make is Doctor Strange. That's all we make now, man. Well, we do make Top Gun sequels, and that's fine, sure. Worth it.
I mean,
make Top Gun.
We tried to make another one. It's called The Irishman, and it was trash.
Yeah, we did.
It was like 17 hours.
That's fair.
It was with people who aren't young, and it was slow, and no one liked it.
Did you ever watch it?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, you know me. I mean, one of the determining factors of if I'm going to see a movie or not is runtime. You know what I'm not watching? Your four-hour movie. I'm not watching it.
You barely watch 2.5-hour movies.
Yeah, I mean, that's about the limit. 2:30 is about the, I'm pushing it.
Top Gun was pushing it for you then. Top Gun was right in that range.
No, I knew, but the thing about Top Gun is, Top Gun ain't really high on character development. That's not really what we're here for. You know what we're here for? Flying these planes. That's what we're here for. We're here for the explosions. I don't have any problems sitting through that. That's fun. But when you were watching Batman, and you and I went to go see Batman together, I'm like, this movie could be 30 minutes shorter if Batman just talked like a regular person. I am vengeance. If you just said that in a normal sentence, this movie would be 30 minutes shorter. But no, of course, you have to say everything dramatic. Everything is in slow motion. It's just dark everywhere. You're telling me in Gotham, there's no sun ever. It's just never sunny in Gotham. It's always raining. It's just Seattle all of a sudden. That's where Gotham City is. It's moved. It's overly dramatic.
I mean, that would explain all the flooding.
Someone on the text line, 913-586-7610. I've never seen Shawshank Redemption before.
Do we get our first new number blocked?
I think so. I've never seen Shawshank Redemption is definitely grounds to be blocked. Sure, you're a swell individual. Maybe you're just not a movie person, but I mean, that's one of those movies that if you're just randomly flicking through the television, it's just on. You never just stopped out of curiosity one time and then just watched it? What's, Rob, let's make the list of movies that we think everybody has seen and see if you and I have the same list of movies that everybody has seen. Because I think Shawshank Redemption's on that list.
I agree.
I think Shawshank Redemption is on the list of everybody has seen this movie before.
I'd also have Goodfellas on that list.
I agree. I would put Goodfellas on that list too. All right, let's make that list on the other side and see if we have the same list. Let's do that because I'm actually curious if you and I have the exact same list of movies that everybody has seen. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Looking for soccer content? Check out Rob's Nutmeg Podcast on the 435 Podcast Network. Available at 610sports.com and the Odyssey app. 610 Sports Radio.
All right, so we were talking about Ray Liotta, who passed away today. RIP to him. Thoughts and prayers to his family. And he is in one of the most iconic movies of all time.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
So we were talking about it, and Rob and I independently made a small list of movies that we think everyone has seen. Goodfellas seems like one of those movies that is on the list. I don't know too many people who just haven't seen the movie Goodfellas. Maybe it's not your favorite movie, but just over the course of time, you have watched the movie Goodfellas at some point. All right, Rob, these were the five I put on the list, and we have not talked about this. Wizard of Oz.
I had that on my list.
I had Shawshank on the list.
Yep.
Forrest Gump.
Yep.
Jurassic Park.
Yep.
I also have Lion King on the list.
Yup.
I don't know too many people that haven't seen the movie The Lion King before. You know somebody who hasn't seen it?
No. I mean, that person doesn't exist.
All right. Did you have any movie on there that I didn't have?
I have three movies on there you didn't have.
Okay, let's see.
Jaws. Everyone's seen Jaws.
I actually have not seen Jaws before.
You've never seen Jaws?
I've never seen Jaws before.
I thought you... Are you serious? What?
I've never seen Jaws before. I just always thought I'd know exactly what happens. Shark's in the water. Shark is eating people. Yeah, I just always felt like I knew what happened in Jaws, so I just had never seen it before.
I just assumed everyone has seen Jaws.
I've never seen it.
All right. Stunning. Titanic. Everyone's seen Titanic. I mean, that's...
Titanic? So
it's not good. It's just everyone's seen it.
I actually think Titanic is a really good movie. You know how, like, on YouTube TV, one day I was, like, flipping through the channel, and it was on TNT, and I just stopped and watched, and I ended up watching, like, an entire part of it till it went to commercial break, and I left thinking, this movie's actually really good. Now, I don't know why it has to be as long as it is when we all know how the movie ends, but I came away thinking, man, Titanic's actually a really good movie. I watched the whole scene where they're at the front of the ship, and, you know, she's actually can fly and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, you know what? This is actually a really good movie, a very entertaining film. Shout out to James Cameron.
I mean, I don't dislike it. I just think it's a little overrated for what it is. But everyone's seen it. Everyone knows it. And finally, Star Wars. The original Star Wars. A New Hope, for those of you who are keeping track of the names. Star Wars, A New Hope. Is everyone seen that?
Did either of us say Jurassic Park?
Yeah, we both had Jurassic Park.
Okay, all right, making sure. I couldn't remember.
We both had Lion King.
I'm getting old.
We both had Lion King, Forrest Gump, Jurassic Park, and Wizard of Oz.
All right, just making sure. What's the new movie that we think everyone has seen? Like, all of these movies came out prior to 1995. What's the modern movie you're like, oh, everybody's seen that?
Avatar?
I've actually never seen Avatar before.
I've never seen it. I actually own Avatar on Blu-ray, and I've never seen it before. The movie's like 2 hours and 50 minutes long. I'll watch it at some point. I'm just not really in a rush to watch it.
I mean, I don't think it's possible to do a modern movie because all of them are long, and you don't mess around with long movies.
Yeah, I don't know why we have to make all these movies that they're so long. Why? Why does Avatar need to be 2 hours and 47 minutes long? These people aren't that interesting.
Does it have to be like a dramatic movie or
no,
like
I'm just what's the movie in the last 15 years that
Wedding
you would
Crashers
say, oh, everybody's seen that?
Wedding Crashers. Text line says Elf.
I think Elf's better than Wedding Crashers is because Wedding Crashers is a raunchy rated R comedy. I could see some people just like, yeah, I just haven't seen that movie before. Like, that's just not my kind of humor.
Text line says Anchorman.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of Anchorman, actually.
Yeah, but you've seen it. The game is not if you enjoyed it.
I don't know many people our age who haven't seen Superbad.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I don't know many people who haven't seen the movie Superbad.
Hangover probably falls in this category.
Yeah, another movie I just didn't really like.
Yeah, I mean, the game is not did we enjoy
yeah,
the
no,
films.
Yeah, no, another movie I just didn't really like. Do you know anybody who hasn't seen at least one Fast and the Furious movie? I'm not saying you've seen them all. Do you know somebody who just has not seen a single one of them? They made 9 of them.
I mean, if we're going to do the series stuff, then like you can do the same thing for Marvel.
Yeah. I mean, they have 47 movies. You've accidentally watched Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean.
It's over somebody's house and it was just on, you know?
I could just say the Avengers films then.
Yeah.
Is that better, the Avengers series?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the first Avengers movie and I told myself I didn't need to see any more.
Wait, you didn't see Endgame?
I've never seen Endgame.
What is this segment has blown my mind.
Endgame. No, I've never seen it.
It made like a bajillion dollars in the box office.
Yeah, I never saw it. You want to know when I kind of got out of the Marvel? When I was done watching it. But, I mean, Avengers Endgame is probably that movie. I mean, it's the most popular movie of our lifetime. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you. It's probably in that category. I heard you Marvel people tell me how good Guardians in the Galaxy was and how I needed to see Guardians
great
in the Galaxy.
Film.
How I needed to see it. How, oh, it was so good. It was so great. I watched Guardians of the Galaxy. I couldn't get through the first 25 minutes. Like, this movie is weird. I just turned it off. And at that moment right there, I can't take any of your guys' Marvel people seriously when it comes to these movies. At this point, Marvel can sell you anything. You'll watch anything as long as Marvel's in it. I was out. I couldn't do it anymore. I don't trust you guys anymore. I don't trust your movie chops anymore.
I can't believe but. I mean, you could still watch the Avengers films. That's different than separate it from the Guardians movie. You've never seen Infinity War with
no.
the snap?
I'm telling you, I saw the first Avengers movie, and I didn't not enjoy the movie, but it was 2 hours and 40 minutes. I pretty much knew how the movie was going to end, and I was kind of out at that point.
I'm just stunned by this. You've made pop culture references to the films while never having seen them.
I mean, I know what happens in the movie. I mean, I don't watch Seinfeld a lot, but I know that no soup for you. I know that's from Seinfeld.
That's fair. Shocking development.
It is a shocking development.
This segment should have been called Let's Name Movies Carrington Should See.
Yeah, no, that might be what we do this summer. I just go back and it's movies I haven't seen. I just missed.
Yeah, we're going to go back and have you watch all the Marvel movies. That would be a great series. That would get us through basically baseball season.
I've probably seen half of them. I've probably seen half of the Marvel movies.
There's like 25 of them now.
Yeah, I'm not invested in all the secondary characters that you guys are. Like, you guys will get really interested in Loki. Like, I don't know who Loki is.
He's in the first Avengers.
Yeah, I don't know who Loki is. I mean, I know who he is, I don't know who he is. Like, I don't know his power or anything. Can you really be scared of a character whose name is Loki? Like, that's someone you're scared of?
He's the god of mischief.
I don't know what that means. Someone said, no Iron Man. I have seen the first Iron Man, hated it, never went back.
I don't think you've seen half of them, the more you name. You basically have seen Spider-Man and Avengers.
That's about it.
That's not half.
No, I've seen more than that. I saw Black Panther. I saw Captain Marvel. I saw Civil War. I've seen, okay, maybe half is pushing it. I've seen probably 10 to 13 of them. Is probably where I'd put it. Someone said, C-Dot, you should watch Marvel movies instead of the Royals. Guaranteed better entertainment. I mean, at this point, I'd rather watch Twilight than watch the Royals. I'm sure that's better entertainment at this point.
Anna Kendrick's in the first one. I've seen it.
I actually have seen Twilight before. All right, can I ask you this question as we get to very serious things?
Sure.
Very, very serious things.
We're really going to reinvent the wheel.
There's so much happening right now. Very serious things. You're really big on that this five-year plan for the Chiefs. That's been your thing all offseason. That it's not about the short term. It's about the long term. It's about looking beyond. All right, let's say that you would take the Chiefs number one. Like, if you had to bet on the future of any NFL franchise for the next five seasons, I imagine, Rob, you would take Kansas City number one in this. They've got Patrick Mahomes. They've got the draft picks. They have built a lot of youth around Patrick Mahomes. You would probably take the Chiefs number one. There's no reason to think that Andy Reid is stepping down anytime soon, so you feel pretty confident that they're not going to make a coaching change, certainly not early on in the first 5 years of this thing. You would take the Chiefs number one overall. Who would be number two? Because I think you can make a really strong case that number two is the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, they don't play in the same division that Buffalo plays in. Like, their division's going to be a lot tougher, so it's going to be harder to win the division if you're the Chargers versus if you're Buffalo or another team like that. But I don't know if there's a team that's set up in a way that you feel really good about them over the next 5 to 7 years more than the Los Angeles Chargers. They've got a quarterback on a rookie deal who I think has proven himself to be one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. They've also put really young talent around them. I think they're aggressive, and the fact that they have the Chiefs in their division, they're always going to be this natural arms race, I think, between the Chiefs and the Chargers to kind of outdo each other and stay ahead of one another. If the Chiefs are number one in this conversation of NFL franchise over the next 5 years, you're banking on, you think they're going to have the most success, I think the Chargers have a really strong argument of being right behind Kansas City as the second franchise that you would bet on over the next 5 years.
I mean, I'm not surprised at the Chargers because it's you. I'm a little bit surprised you didn't take the Bengals. You're the one who on this show is always like, we don't give the Bengals enough credit for beating the Chiefs. We give the Bills too much credit for losing to the Chiefs. The Bengals have a quarterback on a rookie contract. They have two star receivers on rookie contracts. They have a young nucleus on defense led by Jesse Bates. They're the answer. And they have a young coach who a lot of people think is Sean McVay-ish. He came off the McVay tree. Joe Mixon's still young. They just invested in their O-line. So in theory, you'd keep the health of Joe Burrow. I'm really surprised you didn't take the Bengals. I think the Bengals are the obvious answer for that number two over the next 5 years.
This is why I would be a little bit leery of the Bengals in this. And it's not even a regression point. You trust Joe Burrow's knees to hold up for five more years? I mean, Joe Burrow has had a knee injury in every season that we have known about him. He has had some level of a knee injury. He battled it at LSU. He battled it his first 2 years in the league. You feel really confident for 5 years of the knee of Joe Burrow that you're willing to bet on it over any other team in the National Football League? Now, Buffalo's in this conversation, but I would also say after Kansas City, the three teams that you would say are next in this conversation are all teams in the AFC. Maybe you have the Chargers fourth and Buffalo two, or you have Cincinnati two and whatever. After Kansas City, if we are doing a power ranking on, all right, from this point forward, you are betting on the future of these organizations for the next five seasons, how far down would you have to get till you get to a team in the NFC? Who is that team in the NFC? Would you say the Rams? I mean, their quarterback is over 35 years old, but they're very aggressive. So once they lose Matthew Stafford, you feel pretty confident. But I could see the Rams thing turning over pretty quickly. The age of Matthew Stafford. And then I think at this point, Aaron Donald is basically on a series of one-year contracts. Like, I don't think Aaron Donald's going to play for the next 5 years. I think Aaron Donald's going to play like maybe two more years and just retire at age 33. Hey, I'm a Hall of Famer. I've made incredible money. I'm still in really good shape. I can do other things with my life. I'm not doing this until I'm 37 years old. I'm getting out at 33 years old and enjoying the rest of my life. And now I'll go take a job at one of these television stations that are paying a lot of money. I don't think that Donald's going to play all 5 years of this. How far would you have to get down until you feel pretty confident about betting on an NFC team? Because that's just not where the league quarterback strength is right now.
Here's the thing. I think the team in the NFC you would have to pick as far as the next 5 years is Arizona. And we chronicled yesterday that they are a team that we don't trust. So you knock them off the list. You knock all the old quarterback teams off the list, which means your Bucks are gone. Your Packers are gone. Your Rams are gone. Is the answer the Eagles? If it's not the Cardinals because we don't trust Kyler, is the answer the Eagles? And how soft of a situation is that with the Eagles? Because outside of quarterback, I would say the Eagles have a great roster. The problem is you have to have a quarterback, and they don't have one.
You might laugh at me for this. I would take San Francisco overtaking the Eagles. I think I would take Atlanta, too. Now, I know Atlanta doesn't have the quarterback now on their roster, but they look to be building up all the offensive skill position parts that I could see them being the team in two seasons that we say, hey, that roster is really good, but they need a quarterback. The same way we said that about Cleveland, and they eventually got their quarterback. The same way people said that about the Broncos, and they got their quarterback this offseason. If Atlanta keeps picking in the top 10, and you keep hitting on picks, and you got three or four of these guys, eventually we look at the Falcons as the team that needs to go get a quarterback. And with the way that players are changing teams and moving, you'll have an opportunity to get one that's not the draft. I mean, think about over the last three seasons. Because we used to say, hey, the best chance for you to get your quarterback is in the draft. All right, well, Matthew Stafford didn't get acquired through the draft. Tom Brady didn't get acquired through the draft. Deshaun Watson didn't get acquired that way. Russell Wilson didn't get acquired that way. You and I both think that Aaron Rodgers at some point plays for another team. You're going to have chances to get your quarterback that's not just selecting with the 11th overall pick. Now, that guy's not going to be your forever quarterback for the most part, but you can win a Super Bowl if you trade for Aaron Rodgers next season. You can win a Super Bowl trading for Matthew Stafford. You can win a Super Bowl trading for Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. So I just think we're going to see a new quarterback market that right now, for some teams, it's about building players 2 through 53, and then you keep stockpiling picks, and then a quarterback gets unhappy, and then you trade three first-round picks to Arizona to go get Kyler Murray and then add him to your team.
Yeah, but isn't that what the Colts just did, and they didn't get that guy? We said for years the Colts have a playoff roster. There's a quarterback away, quarterback away. They're now on their third quarterback away, and no one believes they're that team. So for every Russell Wilson that gets traded where you go, there's a huge change in the quarterback market, a tectonic shift. There's also the Matt Ryans, Phillip Rivers, and Carson Wentz's that move that don't shift things. The Falcons, if that's their plan, and I don't want to get in the Falcons' plan, that's a huge risk to be that next 5 years team, because too often we see that move happen and it's not Russell Wilson.
Have the Colts wanted it bad enough? Because Matthew Stafford was available. It was a team in the NFC. There's no reason to think that the Lions wouldn't have done a deal. The only quarterback that the Colts couldn't have gotten over the last 3 years, in theory, was Watson, because it was in their division. I don't think the Texans were trading him to a team in the AFC South, but they had a chance at Russell Wilson. Denver wanted him more than Indianapolis wanted him. Indy had a chance at Matthew Stafford. They didn't want him bad enough. Indy does your plan at quarterback. We'll just get the, these picks.
Don't call it my plan.
We got to have all these brick and mortar players. I mean, that's how you really win. Brick and mortar players, they do your plan. They go cheap at quarterback. They try to build the rest of their team. Well, I mean, actually, I can't even say that because they actually built around their running back, and you would never do that. So you know what? I take that back. You know what? That was wrong slander of me to throw on you. You would not build your team like Indianapolis because their best player is a running back. And their best player is also an offensive lineman. I don't think your team would be built that way.
And they have a great defensive linebacker. So,
That wouldn't be your team. No. You know what? You are the anti-Indianapolis Colts. Of all the teams we have figured out in the league, you wouldn't be any team in the AFC South. Now that we know, you wouldn't be any team in the South. Maybe Jacksonville, because they got their quarterback. They also spent the first round pick on a running back last year, though. Also did that. You wouldn't have done that.
And they spent big money on a skill position player, Christian Kirk.
No, you would not have done that. Yeah, no. I mean, now that I'm thinking and now that I'm saying it out loud, you wouldn't be any team in the AFC South. I don't know why you'd want to be any of those teams, but none of those teams would follow Rob's plan to team building. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.